This free resource is from the 2013 Spiritual Leadership Conference in Lancaster, California, hosted by Pastor Paul Chapel in the Lancaster Baptist Church. This lesson is on graphic design for non-designers with Andrew Jones. Andrew Jones is the director of Striving Together Publications and the managing editor of the Baptist Voice magazine. He also oversees the church projection and graphics department at Lancaster Baptist Church and is a graduate of West Coast Baptist College.
All right, well, thank you for coming. And once again, my name is Andrew Jones, and this is the session that we're in today is the design session. I'm going to get started just a little bit early since I have a lot to cover. And I want to say thank you for coming. Of all the sessions you chose to come to, you came to this one. And I will say this, I commend you for it, not for the sake that I'm teaching, but all the sessions will be available after the conference to download for free. And this is the one session that if you miss, it will make no sense when you listen to it. So that one you wanted to go to, I promise you, you can get that. You can listen to it later. Any of the materials that you missed in the session you wanted to go to, if you contact myself or our staff, we'll make sure to get those to you. But I have over 500 slides we're going to plow through today. So this is a very visual lesson. The other reason is, in your notes, I did not put any blanks. The reason for that is, if we don't cover something, you have it there in front of you. I'll try to go as quickly as I can. There's a part one and a part two of this session. Part one is really the crux. If we really don't even get into part two, that's fine. I really believe in getting your money's worth. So there's a lot of material here. We're just going to plow through it. The very title, Graphic Design for Non-Designers, tells you a couple things. First of all, if you're in this room, you have an interest, or at least somebody has an interest in you having an interest in this. So I understand there's a variety of people that I'm talking to today. So I think what I'm going to share are just principles. I'm going to give you a lot of examples. I do want to say right out of the gate that don't get discouraged if you see something and think, you know, I could never get that. That's just, it looks so easy, but I could never do that. I really want you just to focus on the principles behind it. And believe it or not, if you capture those principles, you will do a whole lot better than you think you will do. When I came to Lancaster Baptist Church back in 1989, I was in fourth grade. My family came to the church. I grew up here. We were not on this property that we sit in today. We were at the old building. And I went to school here. Then I went to college. I did not go to college for graphic design. This is just something that's been self-taught. I started working, graduated from college 2001, 2002. And then I went to a church for about 2 years to gain some experience. And I came back. So I started working here full-time back in 2004. Got married in 2005. Been here about 9 years. And I really went to school to be a youth pastor, associate pastor. I passed a track on to our youth pastor at that time, which was Kerry Schmidt. He saw it, thought I had a little bit of talent, showed it to pastor, and that's really the rest is history. I kind of got plugged into the graphic department, and there were just really three of us at that time, and it's grown today. I oversee the publications department, which is the Baptist Voice, Striving Together Publications, as well as all of our print that you see on the walls, in print, all that, I helped oversee it. And we have another department that we split off. We have a website department, web development department. And it's just been a journey. So what I'm going to share with you today is what I've studied. And a lot is from our pastor, believe it or not. He's got just a great visual eye. And there's many things that I've presented to him over the years. And he's just given it back and said it's not good enough. I think we can do better. And I appreciate that. It's helped grow me as a designer. Never think or be offended by that. Use it as a teaching tool. And so many things I could have just passed through and they would have been good enough, but good enough isn't good enough for the King of Kings. So we want to make sure that what we're doing is really up to par. So we're going to begin this session with a word of prayer and then we'll jump right into it. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you today. We love you. We thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. I do thank you for this conference, and I know thousands of dollars have been invested into this, but Lord, we believe it is worthwhile. And I pray for every individual that's in this room, every church that's represented. I pray you bless their ministries. I pray that today will be a fruitful time. There will be something taught that we can use to better equip our churches and to better get the message out. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. First thing I want to say in your notes is, part one of this is you want to know your story. You want to know your story. I'm going to start off by just giving you an example of a lady by the name of Jennifer Diamond who died many years ago of a rare form of cancer. And her family wanted to set up a foundation in her honor to educate people about this type of cancer. And so they sat down with a very popular designer by the name of Karen Baranko. And they sat down with Karen and they began to explain to Karen all about Jennifer's life. And they wrote down a list of what Jennifer was known for. And I want to say this, before you begin design, it's the same way with a road trip, you really need to know where you're going. And anytime I begin a project, and I think this past year, our department completed over 631 design projects. And those projects are anything from a business card to a 54-page Baptist voice. So when I say 630-some-odd projects, those are small and some are big. It's a lot of projects, and we have a great team of, I think, highly talented people here working in the design department. But before we begin any project, information is key, and you need to know if somebody gives you a project, okay, tell me what this is about. Who is it for? What kind of paper is it going to go on? We may need those on just so that I can see my notes. You want to know that. So that's what they did with this lady. They wrote down all these words. They said she was feminine, she was powerful, she was a great messenger. Finally, one word that kept sticking out was dragonfly. Her favorite insect was a dragonfly. I think it was ancient in the fact that it brought healing to people. So it was settled, and finally they decided, all right, let's jump into this project. And so they began to sign off on that. And sometimes you'll have people who design over your shoulder. That's not always the best way to design. Sometimes it's better just to get out in the open what you're expecting, what they're expecting. You both sign off on it, and you go your separate ways. And that's typically how design works best. And so that's what they did. They both signed off on it. They knew exactly what they were looking for. And so Karen went to work. She had to not just look at any dragonfly. She had to get the right angle. And so she didn't want to just get the insect feel. She wanted to get something that was a little more drastic. So she began to sketch. She came up with several different sketches, as we often do. Finally, she came up with this one, began to work on it a little more. And as soon as she added the circle to that, something clicked. She took it into Illustrator, traced it, came up with this, brought it back to the client. The client loved it, absolutely loved it. They said the only thing they didn't like was this piece right here, right in her abdominal section. Her dad said it reminded him of the feeding tube they had to use on his daughter, and he said, can we get rid of that? And when Karen did that, it became beautiful. You see so many things there. You see something that's very feminine, something that is very angelic. It's a beautiful design. But it all started by knowing where you're going. And so you've got to know where you're going. You've got to find out if your pastor gives you a project, okay, what do you expect this to be? Is it just a 5-minute project? Is it a 5-hour project, 5-day project? What are you expecting? And it really helps to get that out in the open. Not only do you need to know your story, next, second part is to really be able to execute your story. Here's an example of a lady who had a business card and she used an acronym. I'm not real big on acronyms, just for the sake that sometimes people just don't know what they are. It's hard to put a face sometimes with an acronym. I worked for a company when I was in college that used an acronym. Nobody knew what it meant. It was very creative. I knew the story behind it, but nobody else did. Oftentimes for people who are business owners, especially small business owners, it's helpful sometimes for them just to put their name on their business card. And so to come to find out, this lady did beautiful artsy crafts. And so one of the recommendations to her from the designer was, instead of using something like this, why don't you show off your designs? Instead of using an acronym, use your name. Now your name's on there and it displays your artwork beautifully. And you can put all your information on the back. You don't need to clutter it on the front. And so here, it's not only giving her name, it's showing off her work. And you can do different sizes, different shapes. So that's how to execute it. Next part, I like to call it keep it simple. And when it comes to communicating a thought or idea, simple is best. And by that, I just mean fewer items on a page. Here's an example of PowerPoint. We've all maybe made slides like this or seen slides like this. They're often the template that comes with your Keynote or PowerPoint program. And the problem is that this is not a presentation, it's a document. This is everything that the speaker should say, and right now I've got my document up here. I should not just take this and translate it to here. There's a difference. You should be listening to me, I should be telling the story. This is just a memory hook to draw the audience in. And so this is a typical slide, and instead, if you really read through the slide and you asked the gentleman, what are you trying to get across in this presentation, really it came down to this. What makes you different? That's what his whole presentation was about, meaningful differences. And he gave all these differences about his company versus the other companies. But really, it just boiled down. It took a little bit of thought. This looks like it's a whole lot more simple, but it took a whole lot more thought. And it displayed his message perfectly. It was simple, less cluttery. He was able to use the talking points without having them on the screen. So I would say, again, in our part one, keep it simple. And you can really give it a great makeover. Next, another example of using simple photos, especially photos that are going to be small. Here's an example right here. Here's a beautiful photo of a skyline. And if you think about a website, sometimes those photos have to be smaller. When you take that photo and shrink it down, you lose the grandeur of the photo. So how do you fix that when you're dealing with a small space? Sometimes it's best to look at that photo and think, what else is this New York skyline known for? Here's an example, something very simple, Statue of Liberty. So you take all that clutter of all the buildings and simplify it by just using a single image. Again, we're dealing with small spaces. Here's another example of a kitchen. Beautiful kitchen. You shrink it down, put it on a website, and sometimes we'll take our building and shrink it down. Kind of loses something. People can't really tell what it is. Instead, think about a kitchen. What do you see in a kitchen? Add your text. Just has so much more of a pleasing effect. Here's another great example. I like this one. Here would be a banner, and I've designed hundreds of banners over the years, and it really is a fine art. And oftentimes when you design a banner, you're tempted to throw everything on it, all the information. And if you look at this banner, how can we simplify it? We have a logo on here that isn't necessary. Let's just say this is hanging in a trade show. We're trying to get people to know where our booth is. So instead of using an example like this, why not take out that background, emphasize the text, and now we eliminate half the words, we stick to our main thought, we give a name which just has this huge presence. It's just really night and day. You have to have a focal point, we'll get into that in a moment. But imagine when you see this in a trade show, which one catches your eye? And it's just night and day. So again, you want to keep it simple. And oftentimes, it's just eliminating the information. You don't really need that. In fact, so many times I'll look at something and think, is this really necessary that I put this on the banner, that it's at our church? It's at our church. We know that. We don't need to put the church name on it. Sometimes you can just eliminate things by thinking, this is common sense, and much different. Here's another example of keeping it simple. Here's a typical designed cover of a magazine. I'm going to draw out a few points about this. If you look at this typeset text, it's has a stroke on it, has a border. There's a lot of rectangles going on here. You have another font that's different than the title font. You have a photo that's in a white border. Just a lot of different elements. So if we take everything off the page, including the color, and we have this just this simple photo. And even right now, we have even another rectangle, we have another shape. So understand, there's not just a rectangle shape on there. We also have another rectangle right here, right here, right here, right here. You want to eliminate those rectangles. By doing that, let's just go all the way to the border, and let's drop it down. So we eliminate this rectangle, we have three rectangles here. Now we're only down to two. We have just a nice, clean, hard edge, and we're going to sample, color sample, inside this picture, bring it up to the top. Then we're going to choose a very clean font. This is Helvetica. We had several different fonts on the other one. We're going to just simplify it. We're going to put the color sample part of the fruit. There you go, already looking a lot more simple. Now we're gonna work on the font. We still need this information on there, so we're gonna use the same font. Again, when you can, try to use the same font, just one font, and at most two. You take this font. If you notice, you can also separate things by using heavier weight fonts. That's one of my favorite tricks to do, is when you have a list, try to use contrast. That's one of my favorite design techniques, is to use a contrast. Sometimes you'll see this at the credits at the end of a movie. They'll do this, they'll use the contrast between what somebody did and their name. But again, here you see that there is not a lot of symmetry to this. So we're gonna tighten that up right there. A whole lot cleaner. Place it there, and there you go. Now most people will be tempted to fill this space, but you don't need to do that. It is design space. It's not necessary to be filled. So you wanna keep it simple. Next thing I want to talk to you about is a focal point. I'm going to show you this next picture. You're going to see what I'm talking about. You have to have a focal point. Another way to make sure that your design is simple is to have some type of focus. When you get any type of brochure, your eyes automatically go someplace first. Here's an example. When you look at a photo like this, you do not know where to look. It's just everything's the same. There is no focal point until we do something like that. Then your eye has a focal point. You turn one of them red, it really becomes obvious. It's just a great example. Here's another example of a magazine spread. It's attractively laid out, but again, there is no focal point. You'd have to be really motivated to read this copy text because there's nothing drawing you in until you give it a focal point. And now the story is very compelling. Just by giving it a focal point. So your eye has to have some type of focal point, something that draws the reader in. And there's a hierarchy, a big, medium, small, and it takes this to make a page look attractive. So here's another example right here where you can use text, large text, where the focal point is the word, big, bold font. Great example. Here's another example right here of a neatly designed flyer, but your eye has no focal point. There's really a lot of different images that you see, and they all really, none of them really jump out and grab you and say, look at me first. So to fix that, we're gonna pick one of these images and make it the focal point, something that your eye can look at first. And by doing that, we just simply blow up the picture, and this picture suddenly becomes the focal point. Here's another example, something typically we would probably work with, a brochure set in this tomb style type font, and just a list of bullet points. It really helps when you look at something like this to identify, and I've done this with many brochures or presentations, you have to identify what is the message this person is trying to convey. And it takes a little bit of work, you need to read it. And so if you read a brochure like this, you come up with really a key statement, and this would be the key statement. So you take that key statement and make that your focus, add the text to the side. Again, even in here, you have another focal point. That is, you make every other few words bold or highlighted, and what that does is it draws the reader in again. They could pretty much read that story quickly and pick up what the article is about just by seeing those focal points. Add the picture down here. Again, we have the same color that's matching, all ties in together, and then we add the list of bullet points off to the side. Here's another simpler example of a brochure. Again, really no clear focal point. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna move everything off the page. Let's just start from scratch. We're going to condense the white space, throw that text back inside, and then lift that lizard out, place it on there. And so actually here, we're using the white space to our advantage. It's actually a design element. Next one I have, and I don't think this is in your outline. I just wanted to cover this quickly after I had printed this, but this is called Get Extreme. So many of us have seen the font Wingdings. You often wonder, what are those for? There's a lot of sometimes useless images in there, but here's an example of what I like to sometimes call supersize it or get extreme, and where you just take a simple element, such as this, blow it up, make it black, add the text. There you have a beautifully designed cover. Just from something where you just, something that was small, you blow it up and be bold about it. Sometimes in design, you really gotta be bold. Here's another example right here. All we're given is just a statement. And if you were in the service Monday night, you saw, I think we had a few stat slides, we call them. And sometimes we'll have that number very large, 1,500 pastors left the ministry. We want that number to be large. And sometimes we'll have a graphic behind it. Same principle here. You want to take the number, make it large. Add your copy. Add a photo. Then color sample out of this photo. Maybe pick some red. And there you go. Great page just by supersizing it. Here's another example of where you have two images, and one design instructor I've read said that she told her students when they had two images like this to make one larger and one smaller. Most times students would come back something like this. And she would say, no, 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 what I mean by it bigger is supersize. Make one really big and the other one really small. Then take that piece, put it over the geisha, and a beautifully designed poster. Just by supersizing something, sometimes I often do that. I'll take something, put it on a page, make it massive, then have that small icon. Really turns out to be a nice piece. And again, everything here is just focused down towards the text. All the lines are focused towards the text she's looking at. In fact, she's so large, she doesn't even fit in the space that she's in. And so she has that grander than life feel. Here's another part, what I call put white to work. Now here's another example right here. White space is very important. And this is very similar to the focal point, but you really can't design without white space. In fact, here's an example right here. There's really nowhere to design. You could put the text on top, but doesn't really give you a whole lot of contrast to work with. So what we're going to do is we're going to pop out some of these. And notice, again, we have a nice design element. We can change the color. And when we say white space, think of it as negative space. It doesn't always have to be white. It's just someplace you could put your text. Throw text on there, and then you have a beautifully designed cover. Here's another example of using white space. Again, a lot's going on there. You have this in a rectangle box. You've got a border around it. Plus, the white space becomes a border itself. So you've got all these borders. This is a border, this is a border, this is a border. And then the text itself becomes very constricting. What we're going to do is we're going to move everything off the page. Again, you can see it's in rectangles. So let's just take that single piece of sage, take the word, color sample out of the leaf, add your text, and that's just a beautifully designed piece. But it's simple. To me, it was a whole lot more simple than this. I'd have a hard time designing this. But don't often think that you have to decorate it. Use white space to your advantage. Now, all of us have had this dilemma. If you've ever worked with a printer, as most printers in your office are, they don't print to the edge, and you have to deal with that. You know, in fact, sometimes, especially if you design the piece to go all the way to the edge, some printers oftentimes the white space is thinner over here and it's larger over there. It seems off center. It's just frustrating, and you print the piece, it just looks very unappealing. Doesn't look very nice. And so, if you intended it to have full bleeds where it just goes off the page, and you can't do that because you're working with that type of printer. One of the reasons, this sounds kind of paradoxical, but is if you're trying to get rid of the white space, make more white space. So you shrink the photo, and now you've got this frame that looks like it was designed. You're using that to your advantage. Add the text, and there you go. You've got a cover. And you could do this in several different ways. You could bring it up, right align it, left align it, works both ways. So that's using white space to your advantage. Here's the next principle, what I call unblock it, You know, it's amazing. We live in a world of rectangles, if you think about it. This TV's a rectangle. Our computer's a rectangle. Our phones are a rectangle. And most photographs that we take are rectangular. And so when I say this, I really mean it. Sometimes you have to think outside the box. So how do you get outside the box if literally you can't have something popping out of the TV or popping out of the page? I'm going to show you how you can do that, or at least give the illusion of it. So we're looking at another rectangle, a page, landscape. Here's a picture. Very rectangular. In fact, just by putting that picture on there, you're adding more rectangles. Your eyes automatically differentiate between the rectangles. You add text, all caps right there, that's rectangular. Justified text, another rectangle. And then more rectangles. So sometimes you're not careful, you're just moving rectangles all around, you're kind of playing Tetris, and you kind of get frustrated. You think, well, you know, fit it here. So we're going to get rid of the rectangles. We're going to, again, start from scratch. We're going to lift this picture out of the blue, and you can do that in Photoshop. Most programs, I think even Keynote will allow you to do that. Very simple. We're going to enlarge it, add the text, again, lowercase, so that now we don't have rectangles. Take these images that were in a box out of the box, add our text, and it's night and day. So somebody might think, well, this is beautifully symmetrically done, but it's not really pleasing to the eye. The other one is much more compelling, and the reason is we're getting rid of the rectangles. Here's a business card. A lady submitted this business card to her design instructor, and first thing he asked, the same thing probably you're looking at this and asking, what's up with the squiggly line? And she said, well, it broke up the space. And she was good to recognize that there were some rectangles going on here, and so she was trying to break up that white space. So first thing I would deal with is, let's start with the logo. Right now your logo is in a box. Let's take it out of that box. Much more compelling. See how this is even floating? Now it's just, it has a base to it. In fact, it almost looks like a Roman numeral, and the font is Times New Roman, so it just fits well. Throw that on a business card, put a name on either side. Again, you're using contrast, and then put your information on the back, center it, and there you go. And I would not put red and red together. I'd mix it up. I'd have a light and a dark on the front. Works well as a t-shirt or as a bag. Just a simple logo, but it came about by breaking outside the box. Here's another example of how to take an image and to pop that image out. We all know that dogs don't live in a confined space. They need room to jump and frolic in the fields. So the way to do that is to take him out of that space simply by just cutting that ear and bringing it out of the image. Again, here's another example right here of an airplane. Cut that, and now you have it flying out of black into the blue sky, and it gives that unblock it feel. You're breaking out of rectangles. Okay, here's another one I call set type boldly. I already showed you this one. The type, you can use it to your advantage, especially if you don't have a lot of graphics to use. I've covered that in another session. Here's another example where you can use type to create a sort of graphic. Here's another example. You've got this very thick font, and you've got this very classic font called Sloop. And again, just makes a nice logo. Center line. Here's another design idea that I do in the Baptist voice a lot when you're dealing with type, is that you deal with two, if you have to put something on the page, it's a separate story. Oftentimes what I'll do is I'll use a different font, a thicker font, and if you notice, this is about 80% gray, this is 100% black. You can offset those stories just by the weights and the fonts. Here's another example of using a focal point. All these principles we've talked about are playing, are are converging on this page right here, where we're just using text by breaking up the white space. And it just creates a handsomely designed piece. Here's another example I love to do. In fact, I think you've seen this at Spiritual Leadership Conference around, where if you're trying to differentiate between text, I'll use the thicker font and then a real thin font. You can eliminate that space in between the two words. Just butt those up together, and you can really come up with some nicely designed pieces. Here's another example. We have a list of names, and you can use color. So you can use weights, you can use colors. I use these all the time, and they really, they're simple to do, and they make a great impression. Here's a logo right here. You put the text down at the bottom. And here's an effect I call panoramic. You take the text, stretch it out, and then put the subline of text, smaller font, a different opacity. It just comes out to be a simple but clean logo. Here's a newsletter that you might have done at your church, or you were given the information, or a bulletin, and it's a lot of information, and sometimes I just want to clear the information out, and a lot of the stuff sometimes that's said in a bulletin, it really can be eliminated. You want to avoid personally using words like join us or don't miss. Those are just overused words sometimes in a bulletin, and they can really become monotonous. But here's an example. If you have to keep the information on the page, there still is a way to make that to where it's a lot more pleasing. And the way we do that is by using weight variation in the text. So if you go back to this other one, there are 9 different stories there. You just can't see them here. They're a lot easier to see. And if I zoom in, this is what it was before, same font. We're going to start up here. We're going to give it a bolder font. We're going to take this author. We're going to spread his name out, make it a different font. And then again, right there, we have a focal point where I goes to first. That's how we read in these Western societies. I always goes from left to right. And just much easier to read. Now here's a fun one right here, what I call use beautiful color. And color is like magic. In fact, it doesn't matter if you have a great product. If you don't like the color, you don't like it. Ladies, that goes for your clothes. It could be a great dress, but if it's the wrong color, you ain't buying it. Fellas, we can love a beautiful car, but if it's the wrong color, it doesn't matter what it is. We tend to steer away from it. So color is very important in design. It is doesn't matter what the craftsmanship is. Color is very critical. And I would say this, if you don't know how to use color, don't use it at all. Use black and white. In fact, oftentimes I will design in black and white and then go back and use color later rather than be distracted by color. Sometimes you'll get so caught up in the colors that you'll miss the message of what you're trying to convey in your design. So sometimes it's best to design in black and white. In fact, I do my weekly bulletin for my Sunday school class, and I do it in black and white. I have the option of doing it in color. I'm a graphic designer. I could do it in color, but I don't. I see most people do their bulletins in color, and they really shouldn't be, because it just accentuates the fact they don't know how to use color. Black and white kind of hides or masks the fact that you don't know how to use color well. So I would typically say use black and white if you don't know how to use color well. But hopefully in this brief tutorial, I'll show you how you can use color in a way that you maybe never thought of before. I chose this photo for a couple of reasons. Primarily because it's got a lot of skin tones. We're going to look at this as a spread. I'm going to show you how to go about choosing colors for a brochure. There's a couple different ways to do it. We're going to look at this photo. One of the best ways to do it, and if you're experienced enough, you may not need to take this step, but you can pixelate the image. We've all seen this before, especially on lower res images. You can pixelate the image. You can do this in Photoshop. Make the image really large, or just decrease the pixel ratio. And then what you want to do is you want to color sample from from the mid-tones, the high tones, the muted colors. You want to choose some darks, some lights. All you're doing is choosing colors. Put these up against your spread, and now you can plug these colors in, and they look beautiful. The reason for that is because these colors are in that photo. You could just go down the list. They all work, and they all work well. Now, if you've never used the color wheel, you can download this on the internet. Just type in color wheel. This is not an RGB color wheel. It's actually a paint wheel. But these, I started using this not long ago. It's incredible, and it really will help you if you're not very good with colors. There are a lot of websites out there that help with colors. Adobe has some. But if you just want something simple, here's a great system to use. We pull this up against our image, and we're going to color sample again from her. And what you want to do is you want to find that same color sample in the wheel. Now, this isn't exact, it's not science, but you can probably eyeball it and say, okay, this is about the same color. Then what you want to do is you want to select that portion of the color wheel. And you can use any color in this color wheel. You can go up and down if you want to go lighter, or if you want to go darker. And you can also go, usually, on either side of the color wheel. You can go one spoke out or one spoke in. And again, they're going to be complementary colors. They still work because they're tied, again, to that same color. And again, the color we pulled out of her image. Now, you can also do the opposite. On the opposite side of the color wheel, these are what we call competitive colors, where they're competing. There is nothing more opposite from this color than this color, but they work really well together sometimes when you're trying to get that high contrast. You can just go around the wheel. Again, purple, very dark, yellow, very bright. But if you chose opposite from that color wheel, it would work. And it does work. You can do the triangular. Works well too. Again, this is a great way to get colors. And these colors work. Sometimes you wonder, does this color go? This is a color wheel is a great way to do that. And again, if you really want to do contrasting colors, you can do that. It will work. And the way to change that is if you go further in to your, or further out from your color wheel, you can really mute those colors. So just a great example of using color, and it really helps to have that color wheel. All these colors work. All right, I want to go over real quick with the time that we have left. I think this session gets out at 2:20. We've got about 10 minutes, about 12 minutes. Apply the four basic principles, design principles. I'm going to go through these quickly. Alignment, and I put this in your notes. Alignment is the visual connection of items on a page, and we saw that where you really want to pick a hard edge and use it. Next is contrast. This is one of my favorite ones. If you come into this room right now, there's contrast in this room. You've got a light wall with a dark baseboard, and then the carpet itself. Contrast is what makes women's makeup work, which just really helps, you know. You've heard her eyes really stand out when she uses that mascara. It's contrast. You look at a house that's beautifully designed, oftentimes contrast just does a great job at that. And proximity is another one. You want to make sure your information is related, captions are close enough to images you're working with. Repetition is the familiarity of elements on a page. I don't have time to say a lot about that, but these four design principles, I guarantee it. I told my wife, who's not a designer, I told her one time, honey, if you can learn these four, you'll be incredible. She She still hasn't bought into it. But these four principles, and I think I have a book listed in the back of your outline called The Non-Designer's Design Book by Robin Williams. It's not an expensive book. You can buy it online. I've met the author, and a very talented lady, but she came up with these four principles, and they're incredible. They'll change your design life. If you can learn these four principles, I encourage you to read the book. It's a simple book. You can read it in no time at all, but it really will help. Part two, we're going to jump through this and see what we have time to cover. Just want to show you this. If you have to do a list, oftentimes we're required in our job to make lists. How do you make a list look attractive? Give you a couple examples here. Here's the list. We've got to make that thing look attractive. Let's just say we're working with a museum. Museum gives us one piece of artwork. Oftentimes that's how it is in ministry. You have one just piece of artwork. It's oftentimes not the best. That's what they gave us. So we're going to take this piece of artwork and make a header. Now, several things are wrong with this header. Not very attractive. Have this sort of translucent bar so you can still see the image in the background, but we've got a lot of different alignments going on there. We've got a left alignment right there, center alignment, justified alignment, a lot of rectangles. So what we're going to do, let's move the text off the page. We're going to put this back on. Again, just a lot of rectangles. So what we're going to do, move everything off. Let's make a header. So now we're making another rectangle just by using the color. We're going to put our font up there, which is just a great font to use, museum staff. It kind of has that historical feel to it. It doesn't look like anything that could be done with a computer. It looks like somebody even drew it. Looks like a piece of artwork. And then we have this photo to deal with. And again, we could put it up there. It just doesn't seem to work. So what we're going to do is we're going to lift that image out of the photograph, or out of the background, place it on our white, just sort of comes to life. And we're going to break up that white space by interrupting it. We're going to color sample. Try that again. Works well, it's complementary, but kind of takes away from what we're trying to accomplish. We're just gonna go back with dark, a little more muted so it makes that image stand out. Place our subtitle, there you go. Now we're gonna look at text. Skip ahead here, again, here's a list. Again, I love to use contrast. Pick one just a little bit bolder, a little more contrasty than the other. And then use a lighter color. In this case, just decreasing the opacity. And you can eliminate the comma. And that's where you can really use color to your advantage and thickness and boldness. Here's the list of names. A lot of things you can do with this. But again, see there's really no focal point. So what we're gonna do is we could do it this way. But if you notice, everything is center aligned. By the way, center alignment is the weakest alignment. It's almost as if somebody doesn't know where to put something. They just say, well, let's just center it. Can't decide if I want it on the right or the left. Center it is mainly for certificates, formal invitations, but it's not very good for a list. In this case, though, it just doesn't work. So we could do it this way. But in doing that, we've got a lot of extra space that we really don't like. Here you've got a lot of jagged edges if we do the center alignment. So what we're going to do is, let's shore this up. And there we go. Nice center piece. Same example here. I don't have a whole lot of time to go in this, but you want to make sure. Sometimes I see publications and the font is just way too large. In the Baptist Voice, I think, and I study this, the font I use the most is 9-point font. And when you think large fonts, you typically think children's books, clunky. You want to make sure to decrease that font. Sometimes I'll try to decrease it and doesn't get approved because the one approving it can't read it. That is a concern, but typically 9-point font is readable. And if you pick up a Time magazine, if you can read that, that is 9-point. All right, I'm going to cut this. I'm going to move ahead. I want to show you one last thing. I'm going to show you how to design very quickly. The few minutes that we have left, I'm going to jump ahead to layout. How do you design an image when you're working with a weak photo? Let's just say we have to do an interview with this guy. It's a weak photo. We've all dealt with weak photos. You don't really want to blow up this guy and put him on a page because you've got this guy kind of looking in his ear. You got a lot of stuff going on in the background. It's really not a good photo. So you could try to cut it out. It'd be a rough cut. You'd spend a lot of time trying to cut that out of the background. And let's just say this is an interview about this guy who flies model helicopters. So what the article is really about is people want to know about model helicopters. So we're going to take that image. We're going to use the grid. We're just going to blow that image up. We're going to pick some color samples out of that image. We're going to take this photo. We're going to crop it as best we can, shrink it down, place it in the corner, put his name really large. Instead of making him large, we'll make his name large. And right there you can see we've created a plane. And there you go. I use the Adobe Suite. I work on a Mac. The Adobe Suite also crosses over to a PC, but I work primarily with Photoshop. To create the presentation you're seeing was done in Photoshop. I run it from Keynote, which is just the same as PowerPoint. I use InDesign to lay out the entire Baptist voice. InDesign is probably my right hand. I find I use that more than anything. It's the old PageMaker. It's like Quark. But InDesign is by far the best, from what I've read, page layout software out there on the market. Just we do all of our book layout in InDesign. You can also, with the new InDesign, you can do ebooks. It's just very versatile. And I only use probably 10% of what the programs can do. Powerful program. But those are the top programs I can think of.